are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, July 20th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is just, I'm overwhelmed by all the rumors out there related to the expansion draft, Danielle.
It is getting out of hand. I feel like it's more now than it was when Vegas joined the league.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, to keep track of all of that and information about the podcast, Flyers News, Phantoms News, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also send us mailbag questions, which we do every week. And if you don't have Twitter, that's fine. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
You need more hockey news? Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get your podcasts. Today on Locked On Flyers, we are going to talk about hiring by the Flyers for a coaching position, some NHL news, those Vladimir Tarasenko rumors, and some options for that second pairing D position that has been vacated by Phil Myers. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening right now. So subscribe to get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Danielle. So we have a new assistant coach. Daryl Williams was hired by the Flyers to replace Ian LaPerriere, who, of course, moved over to be the head coach of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And I'm not sure exactly of the role that he will take besides being a player development coach, because that's kind of what Lappy did. It should be noted that he worked with Alain Vigneault in both New York and Vancouver. So long history with AV, kind of gives you a hint as to where this hire came from, right?
Yeah, it really did. Because I didn't know much about Daryl Williams, but that little background makes it crystal clear why he got hired. We'll see. That's, I guess, my opinion on it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, you know, for me, I like having a coaching staff with some differing opinions. And if mm-hmm. he's somebody that Lappy's worked with a lot, maybe there's some groupthink going on. So I don't know. But again, you know, obviously not one of the primary assistant coaches there either. So who knows what kind of effect he'll have on the team. The big news in the NHL across the board yesterday was Luke Prokop, who is a 2020 third round pick of the Nashville Predators, came out as gay. And he is the first NHL prospect under an ELC to come out, which is a pretty big deal.
It really is. First of all, can I say I just want to protect this kid with my whole heart and my life. Like, I will go to bat for him because I mean, we talk about hockey and hockey culture. So, like you said, this is huge. And I mean, he's just doing so much good by speaking out. And hopefully we get to a place where this isn't like big news. This is just the normal. Like, he's just a hockey player. But for right now, this is a huge step. And I don't know, just seeing, I don't know, on my timeline, there was just the outpouring of love, which was so rare to see on hockey Twitter, but it was so nice to see.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was, you know, statements put out by the NHL, by Gary Bettman. There was a huge media push on so many different outlets. And yeah, it was, I would say, for the most part, really positive. And my only little nagging worry is that he's going to get used as a little bit of a shield or a prop by the league to be like, see, hockey is for everyone, when we all know it still really isn't. But hopefully this is a good step in the right direction and he's able to do a lot of good around the league.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the downside that you knew, or that you know that the NHL is going to try to use him. But
yeah, just sending all of our love out to Luke, because I think he's going to need it. So the other big news, switching gears back toward the expansion draft, is the Carey Price saga, I think, is getting a little insane with some conspiracy theories thrown in. According to Frank Saravalli, Seattle is absolutely considering him. They're doing their due diligence, and they have ownership's blessing to take on that contract. But like I said, there's some conspiracy theories going on that this is a battle of wits between Montreal and Seattle in terms of, you know, is the injury news getting out there to be a little bit of a deterrent? And is, you know, is Montreal daring Seattle to take him, or saying maybe you don't want to take him because we're letting all this injury news out there? Like, what do you think's going on?
I have no idea. I mean, if Carey Price is available, I saw some place that, you know, the front office is kind of like, I don't know, I think we'll pass on Carey Price just because of the injury history and how goaltending is. It could be great 1 year and very unstable the next. Whereas the ownership for Seattle is kind of like, yes, bring in Carey Price, because this can be like a Fleury in Vegas situation where he can be the face of the franchise. So I have no idea. I have no doubt that the both teams are putting things out into the media to try to, psych out the other. But we'll just, for me and the whole Carey Price thing, I have no idea who Seattle's going to take. So it's just, to me, we'll see when the draft is done.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, Elliot Friedman said that Seattle is pretty close to signing Chris Driedger from Florida for 3 years at $3.5 million. Obviously, the Kraken have to take three goalies in this expansion draft, but it won't preclude them from selecting Price, but it will factor into it in terms of that cap hit. A couple other things swirling around. The Rangers had traded for the rights of Barkley Goodrow from the Bolts for just a 7th-round pick, and word is that he's close to an agreement for 6 years at $3.6 million, which is a huge raise for Goodrow, who was making $9.25 a year this past season. That's a big term.
It is, but with how, like, you know, with the flat cap, I definitely could see Gaudreau's agent pushing for more term and not necessarily more, more money in a shorter amount.
Yeah, we shall see how that plays out. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry, when you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket instead?
Save tons of time and money using rockauto.com. They're a family business who's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. We know and trust them. When you go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts, there's hundreds of different manufacturers to choose from. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, and you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers alike. Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, so real quickly, before we get into the Vladimir Tarasenko talk, the NHL schedule is apparently coming out this Thursday, and they plan to account for an Olympic break in the schedule, even though it has not been confirmed that the players are in fact going to go. So that break would be February 5th through the 22nd of next year.
That's exciting. That's like trending in the right direction.
I think so too. And, you know, if they end up not going, I'm sure they'll do some sort of big all-star fest or some other little activity during that break as well. So I think it'll be good regardless.
My birthday falls right in the middle, so I'm hoping they go to the Olympics just because it would be nice not to have like the Flyers play on my birthday because they always lose. So that's another positive. So we all should be rooting for a break.
Yeah, you know, I don't often have a lot of luck on Flyers games on my birthday either. Mm-hmm. So
no, there it's you go. Something about the winter months. It's not good.
Yeah. All right, so Vladimir Tarasenko, things on Flyers Twitter got a little bit crazy over the last day or so. Anthony Sanfilippo posted an article on Crossing Broad suggesting the following sequence of events where the Kraken will take Tarasenko from the Blues in the expansion draft. Then Seattle is going to trade Tarasenko to the Flyers for Jake Voracek and a draft pick that's either a second or a third rounder. And then the Kraken will take Robert Haig from the Flyers as their official pick. And, you know, obviously this is a rumor, unconfirmed, nothing set in stone, but I think it got the Flyers Twitter energy going with the potential for this deal. And I think there's some good things and some bad things about it, but what is your gut reaction, Danielle?
My gut is that this is definitely a rumor. I know that, you know, especially after the Ellis trade, we were kind of like on a high. So this news definitely could have, I mean, obviously we're feeling good thinking that this is a possibility, but I don't know.
So you think it's fumes?
Yeah, I definitely do think it's fumes. I would be completely surprised if this happened. I just don't see this being a deal that Chuck Fletcher can make or would make. He has surprised me, but I don't know. This just seems a little bit too, it just seems a little bit too convenient. I don't know, for me. Especially the Haig. The Haig is what brought it back down to life for me. I'm like, no, you're kidding. No, you're not going to take him off our hands. So, yeah, to me, I just don't think it's realistic.
Yeah, I think there's a certain pie in the sky aspect to it for sure, especially because it seems like there's no retained salary. Mm-hmm. It just seems too neat and tidy. And you're right, the Haig aspect of it just kind of, I don't know, it rings a little false. But yeah. I, you know, as far as like a hockey deal for the Flyers, if it were to happen, do you like it?
Yeah, I feel like there's more risk involved with this one compared to the Ellis deal. So that makes me a little bit nervous. But I mean, I like Tarasenko. I would just hope that the Flyers would do their due diligence of checking with him before, you know, they do the trade, that he will be 100% or as close to 100% when the season starts, just because we talked about 3 surgeries on his shoulder back to back, like one every year. And that's a little concerning. So that's like one of the things that concerns me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, on the upside, it's Vladimir Tarasenko. Yeah. He could potentially score 30 to 40 goals, which is always a good thing. And I would certainly welcome that. As far as his current contract, he only has 2 years left on his deal at $7.5 million. So for a guy like that, you know, if he's operating on all cylinders, that's actually a really good deal. And you don't have to live with it for very long if it's not, which I do understand. But you're right. The injury risk is really high. I think it's higher than it was with Ellis, to be honest. And, you know, even if you have to put him on LTIR, like, God forbid, the Flyers get Tarasenko. There's one bad hit and his shoulder goes out again. Like, who do you have that will replace those goals? Like, mm-hmm. And Jake has been a consistent scorer. I mean, obviously the whole team was pretty bad last year, but Jake has been one of the top scorers on the team for a while now. He also does not miss a ton of games, so he's certainly more reliable, even if he doesn't produce as much as Tarasenko could potentially. And then, like, what do you do? Because who knows if you'd be able to replace Tarasenko at the trade deadline, which essentially you would have to wait for a seller at the trade deadline. And who knows what you'd have to pay for that. And then what does that mean long term or going into the next year? And if you think the next few years are your window, you know, that's a high risk to take.
It is. It is. And that's a really good point with Jake and how he is pretty, I mean, he doesn't miss a lot of games and he does consistently put up points for the team and is in the top three, if not top five, of production for the Flyers every season. So yeah, that, I mean, Tarasenko, that's a big risk, and to be this risky and take a swing at Tarasenko only for it not to work out, and then you're trying to find someone at the deadline to fill that production, just puts you in a really tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is the cap upside that if the Hague thing is true, you would end up gaining $2 million in cap space overall. If you add up what Jake makes and what Hague makes, you know, that's a little over $2 million in cap that you would gain. But yeah, I would have to know a lot more about the medical information and history to know whether or not I would take that risk. The NHL is in the off-season now, but there's still time to decide what sports bets you're thinking of making all summer long. The perfect place to go for that is to our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
And we mean all your sports action, whether that's baseball, golf, MMA, UFC, all the sports that are in full swing right now. And you can head over to BetOnline to check out all the latest sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You can also get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Phil Myers has left a significant gap in our defensive lineup. We have that second pairing right D slot wide open. And so we thought we'd look at a few options out there that the Flyers could look at to maybe fill that position. A couple of them we've actually talked about already in the context of maybe the first pairing role. And there's a couple of them where I thought at least they were more likely a second pairing D-man at best. And so let's bring him back around for that. And the first one is Adam Larson. He's a UFA from Edmonton. Last season, his cap hit was about $4.2 million, 4 goals and 6 assists for 10 points. And he is definitely a more defensive defenseman, as you can tell by that point total. But I think that he could potentially be a really good partner for Travis Sanheim, who likes to get up in the play a little bit. And then maybe this could unleash him a little bit more, knowing that Larson was on the defensive side of things a little bit stronger than maybe Phil Myers was. And he's only 28, which I think is a good age to get a solid NHL defenseman.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Him being 28 and his last cap hit just makes me a little bit interested to see what he would be going for now. But I do like him better in a second pairing role, you know, slotting in with Sanheim, especially because the Flyers have solidified their top pair. You know, I think he's definitely a valuable option.
Yeah, I am very curious to see what he's going to be asking for, as I'm sure Edmonton is as well, because they have a couple of guys that are out on the market, Tyson Barrie being the other one, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But the other guy, which we've talked about a little bit, is David Savard, who I would say is comparable to Larson in terms of style of play, although not as good as Larson is. Not that Larson is like cream of the crop, but I would rank Savard below Larson in terms of defensive ability. He's also 2 years older, so he's almost 31, I think, at this point. But their cap hits were almost identical this past season. It was just under 4.2, or just over 4.2 million for Savard. And the only kind of knock on him, like I said, is defensively, you know, the Blue Jackets were outscored 41-15 while he was on the ice at 5-on-5. And, you know, the Blue Jackets were not a good team, clearly. But it's not like he made them better when he was on the ice, particularly.
Yeah. And to me, that's a little bit of a concern. I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, in a new system with new partners being slotted in the second pair, how he could transform his game and he could be very useful. I don't know. I definitely say if you compare him to if Adam Larson is available and affordable, I think I'd, you know, go to take a chance on Adam before David Savard, but he's definitely, I mean, a reliable defenseman. And so far between these two, I do like that they seem like to be good veteran defensemen to pair with Sanheim.
Yeah, I think, you know, either one of these guys would be solid options. Like, nothing to throw a party over, but solid. I think another interesting option, which we've talked about before, again, for that first pairing slot, is John Klingberg, which I think would be a good thing also to have as sort of a backup in case Ellis got hurt and you had to move somebody up to that first pairing who could handle it. And I think Klingberg kind of fits that role. His last contract was 4.25 million cap hit for the Stars, but it's expiring at the end of next season. So it would have to be a trade. Now, his actual payout in cash is $6 million, so that might be a roadblock for management, but again, the cap hit is only 4.25, and we wouldn't know about a potential extension or anything like that, and what that contract could look like. My guess is that it could potentially go up a little bit, but not a ton. And yeah, so, and again, I'm not really sure if he's a second pair D-man and he wants a top pairing kind of role, but I think it would be an interesting look for the Flyers.
I definitely do. I mean, I really like John Klingberg. He would be an ideal get for me. His contract is, you know, if the Flyers are able to swing that, I think he would be first on my list. But if you add him to the team, what he allows is the defense to be able to, I mean, you don't need to play that top pairing 25, 30 minutes because, you know, with Klingberg and if he ends up playing with Sanheim, you know, they could potentially, like, the Flyers would be able to roll them evenly just because you can kind of, I mean, maybe not really say you have two first pairs, but I mean, to me, Klingberg is that well, that good and can help increase the play of his defensive partner. So he would be ideal for me. And like you said, if Ellis gets hurt or whoever gets hurt, Klingberg can move up and you don't have to put that weight on Sanheim if you don't feel like he's ready next season. So I really like this one. I guess the only thing is that, you know, are the Stars looking to trade him or not? But if the Flyers can manage his cap, I definitely feel like he's a player that they should go after.
Yeah, I think so, too. They did protect him in the expansion draft, so we'll see what that means as far as trade potential. So I mentioned Tyson Barrie earlier. I don't really like him as an option, but he's a name that's out there that, you know, is like churn in the shark infested water of NHL GMs right now. I don't think he'd be a good fit with Travis Sanheim either, because he's a more of an offensive defenseman that they would need somebody to be a little bit more stay at home in the pairing. And I don't like Travis Sanheim having to take that role. And of course, we've talked about his stats have been a little bit padded by playing with McDavid and Dreisaitl with a 40 assists last season, which is kind of ridiculous, but also good output for him. And so what do you think about him? Or is there anybody else or somebody internally you think could step up?
So, you know, just to touch on Barry, I don't think with, like, he is the second pairing guy that the Flyers should target. Just like you said, the fit with Sanheim isn't really ideal. And he, because of his offensive output, I'm sure there are other teams that would pay more than the Flyers are comfortable with. So I think he's a player that I would pass on, though I really do like Tyson Barrie. I just don't think that the Flyers have a need for him now, and, like, you know, looking at their defensive pair. As for some other defensemen that are available, I don't know. I think you rounded out some really good ones. I think Larsson, Klingberg, Savard are ideal for what the Flyers need. Just depends on if they're available and if they can make it work. But so yeah, as of right now, I think those are the defensemen that stick out just because you hear their names pretty often. But yeah, I would definitely be interested to see who out of these three or another the Flyers are really continue to look at as they try to round out their defensive core.
Yeah, we will certainly see if they surprise us as this offseason moves forward. So wrapping things up with our Flyers fun thing, I saw on USA Hockey's Instagram account that they had the Paralympic sled hockey tryouts at the Flyers Skate Zone, which is pretty cool. So that's the Flyers connection there. There's some really good video, and I love watching sled hockey. It's so exciting, and I highly recommend that if you get a chance to see it in person, you do. Thanks for listening to today's show. We will be back again tomorrow. The rest of this week will be action-packed with the expansion draft and the entry draft, and we'll have a special guest coming on to talk about that from NHL.com, Adam Kimmelman, coming down the pike, so stay tuned all week. As a reminder, we always want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or by email to lockedonflyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks again for listening and have a great day. Betting on the NHL doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts.